world is burning down as surely as any house has ever been on fire. We are running at a pace that we cannot keep up with. It will catch up with us someday soon. We are running too fast, too hard, too long. We are trying to shove more hours into the day than there are. And it will catch up with humanity. Those of Christ who have made peace with God will make it through this tumultuous period much better than anyone else on this planet, because at least we know that things are settled with God in our heart and in our soul, regardless of what happens to us. The 119th Psalm speaks to this, and I'd like you to look at it with me this morning. And here it is. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, and that means sin. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments. I will praise You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgments. I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. That's just the beginning of this. We're going to be turning over in this psalm in just a moment. The beginning says that those who keep His statutes while He's here, keep His commandments, listen to His word, honor Him, just like this family did this morning. They said, I want this settled in my life. They were questioning, did we get this settled? And I said to Ruth Ann and Randy and Hannah, I said, look, if you're even questioning it one little bit, let's talk about this and see what God's word has to say about it. And then at the end of that, if you decide you want to be baptized, then that's what we'll do. But if you're satisfied and if you're settled with what happened before, then that'll be fine with us too. They decided to follow Jesus. They decided to keep His precepts, to do what He commanded us to do. Being baptized is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. And it's not for everyone, because sometimes people do not have the opportunity to be baptized, like the thief on the cross. It's the perfect example. But for those of us who have said, I want You in my life, Lord, I need You to forgive me of my sins, then we're supposed to follow His precepts, just like the psalmist wrote. And it will be well with your soul. Turn over now to the 89th verse of this great psalm. 89. This is a huge psalm. I would like to preach all of it, but we don't have enough time. And you probably don't have enough patience. Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to Your ordinances, for all are Your servants. Are you with me? That's not the 89th Psalm. It's the 89th verse of the 119th Psalm. Anybody have a problem? Are you with me? I said turn to the 89th verse. Today, I did not make a mistake. Yet. It's early, but I've been in the water. I'm awake. To keep His precepts, to obey His commandments, it says that it will be well with your soul, and not only well with your soul, but well with the soul of all those who obey His commandments. And even the world abides, this great planet that we're on, This world will abide in His words. It will answer to Him. That's what this psalmist is saying. We don't have an option. You can decide to not follow Christ. You can do that. But someday, you will bow in front of God. And the world answers to God. This world is under His control, not ours. Some would like you to think that this world is somehow controllable by our little feet. And I don't mean little feet. This world is not under the control of man. It's under God's control. And He will prove it. And the harder we run and try to shove 29 hours into 24, the sooner He will prove it to you that He is in control. So the Word says, starting in verse 89, are you with me now? Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. It doesn't mean you have to wait to get there to have the Word settled. That'll be a great day. You don't have to worry about anything anymore, right? Once we get to heaven, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, right? Love that song. But you don't have to wait that long. You can have blessed assurance. I'm naming all kinds of hymns here this morning. You can have blessed assurance today if you will recognize that God already has things settled. It's done. Right, George? He has spoken. But have you settled your account with God? He settled it with humanity and the world. It is all settled in heaven. God has this thing worked out. Are you with me? We don't need to tell Him how to work this thing out. It's worked out. My Bible just said, it's settled in heaven. Have you settled your account with Christ? The Dumphy family settled their account with Christ. They did what they said they would do this morning because God said it, not Craig Holland. They obeyed His command. And you obeyed His commandments this morning. This praise this morning, it's okay for me to praise you because God says we're supposed to encourage one another. You know what you did this morning? You sent a sweet aroma to God the Father because you came to His house and you said, here I am, Lord. Look at me. Look me over and help me. I bring all my urges and my dreams and my ambitions and all of my prayers and even my fears in front of you. But I'm here today. I'm here today, and I'm under Your Word today. And I pray that You would just say, I give my life to You. I want to settle this once and for all. If you've never done that, even if you have as a child, maybe you haven't as an adult. Maybe you thought it was over back then. But you know, when you grow into adulthood, things change. And sometimes you need to rededicate your life to Christ. And you need to say, I will follow You, and I have decided to follow Christ. Get it settled so you don't have to worry about it. Don't leave these doors today not settled. Leave with peace. Turn with me now, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. The very first chapter of the book of Isaiah. Just keep turning to the right in your Bible. If you're not familiar, it's okay. We're here to teach you. Just keep turning to the right, past the psalm, and you will find Isaiah. The first chapter of the book of Isaiah. I love this scripture. It's about settling our accounts with God. And then we're going to look at a parable this morning about a person who had a decision to make, and we'll see what happened in their life. But here in the book of Isaiah, in the very first chapter, we look at the 18th verse. Please have your spiritual ears on. You can go if you want to. I know some of you are tired. If you need to take a nap after this. Listen. Come now, let us reason together. Let's be reasonable about this. Okay? If we've admitted that there's a God, let's be reasonable about this. If He's truly our God and our Maker, right? He's the one that has charge over all of this world. If He has decided, if everything is settled from a God standpoint in heaven, let us be reasonable together and settle our accounts with Him while we're here, so that we can enter into the rest where everything is bright as day forever and ever and ever. And while you're here, if your heart is settled and if your soul is settled, you will live a happier, healthier, more loving life, won't you? Because when you're not settled, you're stressed. And you can't worship Christ when you're stressed out and when you're fearful. My Bible says that there's no fear where love exists. It can't exist in the same plane. So this psalm, Isaiah is bringing this word, and he says, "Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel," this is God's word, listen to this, are you awake? "If you rebel against God, what will happen? You shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." It is settled. And He's not talking about a sword to come down and lop your, never mind, off. He's talking about the sword that is what I have in my hand right now. It's the word of the Lord. You have a choice. It is settled. God has settled it. You're either going to follow Him or you're not going to follow Him. And if you don't, and if you refuse, and if you rebel, and if you never make peace, and if you never settle your accounts with God, you will be devoured. And the harder you run, and the longer you run here on earth trying to cram 29 hours into 24, you are setting yourself up to be devoured, because you will have no time for God. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to settle your account with Him. You know how many times a day I have to settle my account with Him? More than I can name. I'm just human. I am trying to follow Him, but I know that many times I fail. And so I say, "Lord, forgive me." And He says, "You're forgiven. But don't do that again. It hurts me when you fail." Doesn't it hurt when a loved one fails? Doesn't it hurt? You don't have to be a son or a daughter. Doesn't it hurt when someone you love, friend, family member, doesn't matter. Doesn't it hurt when you see a failure in someone's life? Think of God watching over us, wanting our account to be settled with Him, saying that if you'll follow me and if you'll ask for forgiveness, did you read that with me? If you follow me, although your sins are as red as they can be and they're bright and shiny and everybody can see them, if you follow me, they shall be covered and they shall be as soft wool. It's a beautiful picture of God replacing red sin, crimson sin, with white wool. Spotless, clean. That's what you need in your life. You need your life and your person to be settled so that you can walk in the freshness of His Word. Feeling clean. Talked with Kit Ripley last night. They stayed with us over the weekend. She's preaching at Porterfield this morning. Said she didn't like you all very much, so she didn't come back. Honestly, she said to send her love. She does love you, and she was so grateful for your reception of her. We were talking about these young women that are rescued from slavery. Some of them have had to do such horrendous things. Unimaginable to us, some of these things. I said, Kid, it is so amazing that God's Holy Spirit is leading people to do that kind of work around the world and right here at Vanderhoof as well. Because God's Holy Spirit wants you to take anything that you have done in your past and give it to Him that's unholy, and He wants to cleanse it and make it well so that you feel clean and that you can live a life of peace. It's settled, my friend. Settled in heaven. Thy will be done in heaven as it should be on earth. He settled it. He's ready for you. He died on the cross for us. He took care of our sin. And all He wants us to do is recognize Him for who He is, ask for forgiveness, and He says, it's settled. It's a beautiful thing. You can put behind you. Some people say, I can never forget. Well, you know what? I don't think we're supposed to forget. But I think we're supposed to remember that we're forgiven. How's that? Try that hat on for size. See if it fits. I'm not supposed to forget the things that I did that got me in trouble. Hopefully, that remembrance will keep me out of getting in trouble again. But I'm supposed to remember always that I'm forgiven. Praise God for His holy word. So we're going to turn now to a story, and this is how we're going to end today. And it's a story that leaves a question. It's a parable of Jesus, and it's the story of the rich young man or rich young ruler. And it appears three times in the Gospel of Christ. It appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It does not appear in the book of John. So we're going to turn to Matthew this morning, since it's first, easiest to find. And we're going to go to the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. We're going to apply what we've learned so far to this story that Christ leaves us with to help us settle our account with Him. The 19th chapter of Matthew, starting in the 16th verse. Matthew 19, starting in the 16th verse. You with me? It says, now behold, one came and said to Him, that's Jesus, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Remember what we read in the Psalm and book of Isaiah? If we follow His precepts, He will cover our sin and we will be able to eat of the good fruit of the land of God. Right? Isn't that what the Bible just said? So this rich young ruler says, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And so he said, Jesus said this, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Why would Christ say, why do you call me good? For no one is good except God. Do you think that He's saying He's not good? Not at all. Not saying that at all. Don't even think that for a split second. He's saying, do you truly recognize me for who I am? Are you willing to do that? Are you? As a congregation, are we willing, as I said earlier about never coming to God the Father except we come through the person of Jesus? Are you willing to realize and accept the fact that Jesus Christ was and is and will forever be God? Because that's that's what those three people right there this morning testified to, that He is equally God with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. Jesus is asking this person that says, how do I get to the kingdom? How do I get eternal life? And he says, good teacher, how do you do that? And Jesus says, why do you call me good? Because there's only one good, and that's God. He's saying that because he wants that person to recognize him as who he is. And he said to him, have a little refresher here. He says, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And the rich young ruler says, which commandments? I didn't know it was multiple choice. I didn't know we got to pick. I wish we could unbolt those Ten Commandments out there and bring them in here this morning. Don't get any ideas, guys. It's all right. Do you or I get to pick which commandment we're going to obey? Well, this guy kind of thinks you do. Because he says, which one? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you should honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That covers all of them, by the way. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? This guy is saying that he has kept every commandment. Was there one missing there? Who are the Bible scholars here this morning? Which one's missing? God's in there. Love God's in there. Let's read on just a little bit. Young man said to him, verse 20, all these things I've kept from my youth, what do I still lack? And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Some people think it's covetousness. Who said that? Ella? Ding! Who's our God? Who's our God? I didn't ask you who his God was. Listening. I think they're recording this too. We're good at saying words, aren't we? The rich young ruler was too. He said words. He said, I kept all those commandments. I am living the way I'm supposed to. God challenged him, and he says, sell everything you have, everything. Give it to the poor. And then come and talk to me about saying that you have kept every commandment. This thing's deeper and wider than higher than it looks as well. He says, you don't recognize me. He doesn't want you to sell. This would be one of those televangelists that tells you to sell everything and send him your money. This is not what Christ is saying. He does not want you to take everything that you have in your house and your land and sell it and give it to the poor and then follow him. He's not saying that. He is using this as an example to tap the heart of the rich young ruler. Who's your God? It's my stuff. You guys got any stuff? Don't raise your hand. Does anybody have a rented storage building? Don't raise your hand. Did anybody have to build a bigger building to keep your stuff in that you haven't seen for 5 years? Do you have anything in your house that you haven't seen for 5 years? Then you have stuff. He says you need to let go and declare me as God. Then you can keep all the junk you want. But you got to get rid of that junk in your head and in your heart before you can follow me. What do you need to do? The word today is settle things with God. Proclaim Him as Lord and Savior. Say it to the world. Say it to the world. Get up, get off your... get out of your seat. Whoa, whew, that was close. Get up, get out, and declare that Jesus Christ is God. Then you have rid yourself of the junk. Let's read the rest of this. It's interesting. Verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great, what? Possessions. You just write in your Bible there, junk and stuff. Junk and stuff. It's okay to write in your Bible. So you remember what we're talking about here. He had great junk and stuff. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. God explained this one too. God does not want you to be poor. He does not want another poor person on this earth. It is okay to have a good life, and get a good salary, have a good business, amass wealth, do whatever you want, live wonderfully under the guidance of God. But remember that what you have belongs to God, and God needs help. God needs help. If you are very wealthy in this life, and I'm talking monetarily, God expects you to give some of that to help the poor that don't know Him. I'm not just talking about feeding them. He says to do that too. But they need fed with His Word. And if you have it, then God needs you to help Him spread the gospel. And you can't spread the gospel by holding on and hugging your stuff. I know people that have so much stuff, and you know what they do? They go look at it every day. They do. They sit with it. They go and look at it. And they turn around and they go, look at all the stuff I have. Of all this stuff. You guys ever watch American Pickers? I rest my case. What stuff do you have that's more valuable than gaining eternal life? Is there anything more valuable? Don't we yearn and cry and bawl and scream, help me, God, help me, Lord, get me through this tough time I'm in, get me out of debt, get the cancer away from me, on and on and on and on, when it should be, Lord, am I okay? Have I settled my accounts with you? Is my soul all right? Because if I pass from this life to the next, I want to know, I want to be with you. Because the Bible says if you haven't settled your accounts, when the time comes, you'll be cut down, told you never belong. This rich young ruler couldn't let go of his stuff long enough to admit who he was talking to. It goes right back to verse 16 and 17. The rich young ruler called him good. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? Now I'm going to explain the rest of this, just like Paul Harvey used to. Here's the rest of the story. He should never have looked at Jesus and said, you're good. He should have looked at Jesus and said, you're God. you're Lord. You're my Savior. You're my King. You're the person that's in charge of my entire future and my life. You are the Lord of Lords. You're the one who died for me. I recognize you for who you are. And you know what Christ would have said if he would have answered like that? He wouldn't have said, sell your goods. He would have known that the man already settled his account with God, and he would have said, come and follow me. God's not just good. We say that thing, don't we? You all know it. God is good. Go ahead. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That's how it goes. Some of you know that. God is God. All the time. He is God. He has settled things in heaven. He's waiting for you to settle your account with him so that he can say, come and follow me and enter in to your rest. I'm done. Can you believe it? I heard amens all over this place. Settle your accounts with Christ. Admit who he is and enter in to the good food that belongs to the Lord. Let's pray. Amen. You have to be willing to say it. And you have to be willing to admit it. Let's pray.